Texas to see people reconciled to God and to one another. Hello, and thank you for visiting us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoyed this week's message and hope to see you soon.
On Facebook, whatever, and tell somebody, hey, next week you need to come to me, come with me to church, because we're starting a brand new series that I think is going to help you with where you are right now in life, and that's going to help you get to the place that you ultimately want to be. But today I want to talk from the heart. So I'm actually preaching this message today. If you're taking notes, I'm calling it A Church for All People. A Church for All People. I'm going to preach from Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29, or 28 rather, and we got it on the screen in case you don't have a Bible. We do that so that way you can follow along. And so Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 28. And I'm actually going to read it off the screen because our media team does an incredible job of giving you guys this awesome illustration up here. Y'all see that stuff moving in the background? That's pretty dope. Y'all rock, man. Y'all are awesome back there. But it says this: so in Christ Jesus, you are all. Everybody say all. I need you to say it with your chest. Say all. Come on, say it with your chest now, all. I'm fired up to preach this morning. I've been waiting 3 weeks. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you, everybody say all. Come on, say it louder, all. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. And there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are, say it with me, all one in Christ Jesus. A church for all people. Now, one of the things that I love about the gym, I kind of shared with you guys earlier that last year I was on a fasting kick, and I'm about to start it again with you guys tomorrow as we start this 21-day journey. But one of the things that I was also doing while I was fasting was I was actually working out. Still do that to this day. And one of the things that I love about the gym, no matter where you work out, YMCA, Planet Fitness, Riverside, I don't know where you work out, Crunch, whatever your forte is. The thing I love about the gym is that the gym is a place for all people. It's all people. And you see all types of people in the gym, right? You see short people, you see taller people, you see thin people, you see wide people, you see all types of people in the gym. Black people, white people, Asian people, Latino people, all types of people in the gym. And it's amazing because everybody has the same goal in mind. I want to get healthier. And one of the things I also love about the gym is the camaraderie that's in the gym. I remember one time, like, I was in the gym and I was kind of lifting weights, and I was talking to a guy that oftentimes lifts weights with quite a bit. And I was like, hey, bro, like, I'm trying to, you know, add a little bit more weight to this bench press, man. You mind giving me a spot? He's like, yeah, bro, I got you. I love the camaraderie. Yeah, bro. You need a spot? I got your spot, bro. Well, let's do it, man. So we put a few 45s up here on each side, and we just went to work. I love the encouragement. I love the camaraderie. I love it, man. Because everybody has this goal in mind. Now, granted, there's some people in the gym who may be a little bit further along than others, but here's the thing that I realized, that is not really a contest with the person that you're working out with or the person that you see in the gym, because who you're competing against is yourself. It's about, how can I get better? How can I grow? That's what the gym is all about. So you may see one person who's on the treadmill and they're just running and they look like they're about to pass out because they're running so fast. Like the treadmill is just moving extremely fast. Then you may see another person who's just walking on the treadmill. But you know what? For each person, the pace is perfect for them. That's the purpose of the gym. It's for all people. It's not like you can only work out here at the gym if you're in shape. It's not like you can only work out here at the gym if you're able to bench press 350 pounds or if you're able to squat or deadlift 600 pounds, I don't know. No. It's for all people. That's what I love about the gym, that the goal is to be healthy. That's what it's about. This community aspect. It's all about being one. And throughout the years, the church has been known as a community. That's what the church is. It's a community. It's a place that's supposed to be inviting. But unfortunately, throughout the years, the church has oftentimes been not the place that's the most inviting, but the place that is typically and sometimes the most rejecting. Oftentimes people have come to a church and they've had a negative church experience. Not because like somebody just didn't like speak to them or whatever, but not necessarily that, but because, you know, there was this openness here and people got connected and they felt abused, they felt let down, felt ridiculed, they felt judged, they felt condemned, they felt mocked, whatever the case may have been. The church hasn't always been the most inviting place, which is ironic because the leader of the church, which is not me, by the way, but the Lord Jesus, Colossians 1 talks about how he is the head of the church. Jesus was the most inviting person that you ever would meet. He was the most humble. He was the most inviting person who ever walked planet Earth. I mean, I'm not just talking about like Jesus was just somebody who just like speak to somebody. Jesus would hang out with anybody. Matter of fact, in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 3, there were some really religious people called the Pharisees, and they were constantly ridiculing Jesus because they were saying things like, this guy eats with sinners and tax collectors. In other words, you know what they're saying? This dude hung out with everybody. This is crazy. And he's supposed to be this awesome teacher, this awesome prophet, whatever. Yet they were blind to the fact that Jesus was the Son of God, that he came for all people, that he came to extend grace, to extend love, to extend mercy, so that way people of all types and people of all backgrounds could come be a part of the family of God. Jesus was the most inviting, the most loving, the most encouraging, the most community-driven person who ever walked this planet. But yet it's interesting that his bride, which is the church, has not always resembled that. Now, before you kind of think that I'm getting on the church and kind of bashing the church, no, I'm not, because I love the church. Absolutely love the church. I can't love Jesus and not love his church. It's like saying, Edwin, I love you, but I don't like your wife. Well, you don't like me, because we're one. So I can't say I love Jesus, but then hate his church. But unfortunately, here's the reality. Many people have a hard time seeing Jesus for who he is because the church, which is supposed to represent Jesus, has not portrayed Jesus the way he really is. And so people have a hard time getting to Jesus because the church, which is supposed to be the bridge to get to Jesus, is oftentimes getting in the way. Hasn't been really as inviting as it should have been. There's a story in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. I don't have time to read it, but there's this guy by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector back in the first century, back in the times of Jesus. Tax collectors were considered to be the scum of the earth because they would oftentimes take from people and then build their own wealth off of the backs of others. So they weren't liked at all. They were considered to be absolutely the most heinous people in society. But it's interesting because Zacchaeus hears about Jesus passing through, and Zacchaeus was actually kind of short in size and stature. And so one of the things that he actually did was he went and actually climbed a sycamore tree so he can get a view of Jesus. And then all of a sudden, he and Jesus exchanged conversation. And then as a result of them exchanging conversation, Zacchaeus, make a long story short, comes to faith in Christ. And you know what Zacchaeus then says? He says, all the people that I've wronged because of this great grace that I've received that I didn't deserve from Jesus, but because he loves me, not because of what I've done, but because of who he is, all the people that I've wronged and taken advantage of, I'm going to repay them back and more. His life was changed by Jesus. What did I say that for? I said that to help you understand that Jesus is for all people. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what your color is. It doesn't matter what your creed is. Jesus is for all people. That's what it's about. That's why he came. That's why he came to earth. Matter of fact, in Luke 19 and 10, he says that the Son of Man, which is Jesus, another title for him, he says, I come to seek and to save the lost. His church is to be an extension and an earthly representation of who he is. Now, when I say the church, I'm not talking about a building, because the church, y'all, is not a building. The church is not some community club. The church is not some VIP network. It is not. It's not a clique. It's not this exclusive membership only type of thing. It's not none of that. The church is a community of people declaring the goodness of God so that way the world can be drawn into the family of God. That's what the church is. And many of us in here who have had some type of a church background, I believe without a shadow of a doubt, if I were to give you the microphone and tell me and ask you to tell us about your church experience, some of you guys would have horror stories sharing some of the experiences that you've had about the church. The church was never meant to be something that existed for itself. It was supposed to be something that existed for all people. That was the whole point of the church. The church should be the greatest light in this community. When we planted this church 2 years ago, 3 years ago almost now, we had a simple vision to see people reconciled to God and to one another. No matter who they were, no matter how much money they made, no matter their pedigree, no matter what kind of family they came from, no matter if they lived in the hood or the suburbs, don't matter where you live, that this church will be a church where all people could experience the grace, the forgiveness, the love, and the mercy of God. That was the whole point, and that still is the heartbeat and vision of this church today. That it truly will be a church for all people. Why? Because Jesus is for all people. I don't know if you knew that or not. How do I know he's for all people? Because you're here. Let's talk about you for a moment. Trifling? You never had a preacher call you trifling? Oh, you are. Would it make you feel better if I called myself trifling? Pastor, you trifling too. I know. Sinful, messed up, broken, hopeless, deceitful, a liar. Shall I continue? But yet, God, in his great mercy and great love for us, sent his son Jesus just to show us that he was for us. You need any more proof that he's for all people? Let's be real, man. You and I ain't got no business even being here right now. No business at all. You thought it was an accident that the bullet didn't take you out? No, that's called grace. You think it's an accident and a coincidence that the accident that you were in didn't take your life? No, it's called grace. To show you that he is for you. You think it's a coincidence that even in the midst of you losing your job that you were still somehow able to stay afloat? No, that's called grace. To show you that he's for all people. It's no coincidence that you're here today. It's no accident that you're here today. It's simply because of God's grace. It's simply because of God's mercy. It's simply because of God's love. And the minute you begin to forget that you are here, not by what you have done, but you are here by what Christ has done for you, that is the minute that you begin to lose all significance for your life. But when you begin to reflect on this, when you say things like this, like the old school would say it like this, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out. Hallelujah. Come on, think about where you were years ago. Think about where you were last year, this time. Think about how you were going down the wrong path. Think about where you were headed. Think about some of the things that you were involved with. And think about how God somehow supernaturally got you to where you are right now. That is proof that God is for you, not against you. And the church is called to be a church for all people. Which brings me to Galatians chapter 3. That's what this text is all about. Galatians chapter 3, Paul's writing to these believers in this area called Galatia. It's modern day Turkey. And he's writing to them to strengthen them in their faith by combating all this false teaching that was kind of starting to swirl and make its way into the church. False teaching saying things like, in order for you to be a part of the family of God, to be accepted by God, it's not just about you believing in Jesus, but you got to be circumcised. You got to go through all these religious hoops. You got to do all these supernatural, all these spiritual, all these religious things. And Paul is writing to the believers in Galatia to help them understand. No, no, no. It's not about what you do that makes you right before God. It's about what Jesus has done for you that makes you right before God. All you got to do is believe it and receive it by faith. That's why Paul wrote this entire letter. Matter of fact, last year we spent a whole summer walking through the entire book of Galatians. It's on our website. You guys can go back and listen to it. But the Galatian believers, they were questioning whether their faith in Jesus was enough or if they had to do more. They're questioning it, y'all. Here's what they're also questioning. Is the church really for us? Is it really for us, y'all? That's what they're asking. That's really what's behind what they're asking Paul. That's really behind what Paul is really helping them, what he's writing to them. That Paul, we understand what you're saying, but we're hearing what all these false teachers are saying. And they're saying that in order for us to be a part, that we got to do this, we got to do that, we got to do this, we got to do all these things. And Paul is like, let me just relax. Let me calm you down for a moment. Because it's not about what you do. It's about what Christ has done for you. So in these verses, in verses 20, 6 through 28, Paul teaches and reminds the believers of who they are in Jesus, but he also reminds them and gives them a picture of how the church is supposed to look. Notice that three times in these verses that we read, Paul says the word all. 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 I want us to get that in our heart. I want you to have this ingrained in your mind when you leave church today. You have this image of me clapping my hands saying, all, all, all. That's what the church is supposed to be about. All, all, all. Yeah. All. 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 That's what the church is supposed to be about. And Paul goes out of his way under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to pin these words to help them understand that the church is not just for some secluded group of people, for them just to experience the grace of God. No, it is to be experienced by all people. He's painting this picture of the beauty of the church at large, but he's also painting a picture of how local churches like the church in Galatia should be. That it is a church for all people. Here's a few things that a church for all people portrays. Number one, it is a picture of the family that God has produced. Verse 26, notice what Paul says. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. You are all children of God through faith. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. What is Paul helping us understand here? That the church, above all things, is a family. It's a family. It's the family of God, y'all. All throughout Scripture, the church is called many things. The body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the people of God. But at its core, you know what the church is? A family. That's what it is. It is God's family. And that is what Paul is trying to help the believers understand. That the church is a family, and it's made up of people who have put their faith in Jesus. That's what it's about. And by them putting their faith in Jesus, here's what happens. They automatically become some sons and daughters of God. That the only prerequisite for you to be a part of the family of God, the way to get in God's family? It's just by believing in Jesus and what he's done for you on the cross. That's it. Believing in his atoning work for your sinfulness, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection. That's the only thing that you need to be a part of the family of God. That's it. That's it. Some of you guys are like, it's got to be more than that. That's what the believers in Galatia thought. Paul is helping them understand. You know how you became a child of God, a son of God, a daughter of God? By putting your faith in Christ. This is much different than what's called universalism, because universalism says that every person on planet Earth is a child of God. No. Every person on Earth is a creation who's been made in the image and likeness of God, but is not a child of God. The only way you can become a child of God is by putting your faith and trust in Jesus. So at the most, the only people who are sons and daughters of God are people who have put their faith and trust in Jesus. And some of you guys may be saying, well, man, that's not fair. No. You don't want fair from God, because fair from God means that you get what you deserve. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If you want fair, then that means you should be on your way to hell right now. You don't want fair, you want favor. Favor is grace. God giving you something that you didn't deserve. And what you didn't deserve was to be a part of the family of God, but yet he opened up the door for you to be a part of the family of God, and he's also opened up the door to every person on planet Earth to be a part of his family, and he says, the way you get in my family is through my son, walking through him. And that happens just by putting your faith and trust in Jesus. That's it. That's all you need to be a part of the family of God. But at its core, the church is a family. John 3:16 says it like this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting or eternal life. The prerequisite for people coming to Christ is whosoever. Whosoever, that's it. That's it. The only requirement that God has for you to come into his family is being whosoever. Whosoever will believe. That's it. That's it. That's it. Listen, I mean, that's it. Now, to get my family, you got to do a whole lot more. Let me just be real. You got a job? What you bringing to the table? To be a part of the family of God, You know what God says? Just come to me. Bring your faith. Just believe. That's it. And here's why this should be good news for all of us in here. Because as the church, we portray this awesome kingdom message that God has opened up the door to his family, and anybody can walk through it. Anybody can be a part of his family. Anybody. And it's especially good news for some of us in here who feel like you are hopeless and you feel as if there's nobody for you. If you've ever felt alone, you've ever felt abandoned, you ever felt like there was no place for you, here's the good news that I want to share with you today, that there is plenty of room in the family of God for you. Plenty of room for you. Plenty of room. What this also means is prior to us becoming sons and daughters of God, it means that we were once spiritual orphans. We didn't have a home. But now in Christ Jesus, we have been adopted into the family of God. And I don't know if you knew this or not, God is a good, good father. He will provide for you. He will take care of you. He will love you. He will comfort you. He will be there for you. He will walk through the valley of the shadow of death with you. He is there in the high moment. He is there in the low moment. No matter what season you find yourself in, God says, never will I leave you, nor will I forsake you, because you are my son. And I don't abandon my sons, and I don't abandon my daughters. You are part of the family. You are part of me. That's what he says. That's what it means to be a part of the family of God. And the local church, the church at large, but especially the local church, is supposed to be a picture of the family of God. There is plenty of room for you to be in God's family. But I can hear what some of us are saying. But you don't know what I've done. I can't be a part of God's family. Here's the good thing about a church for all people and what it portrays. Not just that it's a family that God has produced, but it's also a picture of the forgiveness that God has provided. When you look at verse 27, notice what Paul says. He says, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ Jesus. Paul reminds the believers that they were baptized into Christ. What is this a picture of? It is a picture of God's forgiveness that he has provided through Christ. Paul uses this word baptized. Baptized simply means to submerge or to be submerged, to be covered or to be immersed. What is Paul getting at? He says, you have been immersed, you have been submerged in the grace and the forgiveness and the love and the mercy of God. It is a picture of God extending his forgiveness to us. The forgiveness of our sin. Because I don't know if you knew this or not, man. Your sin made you real dirty. Your sin made you real unrighteous and unholy. Your sin is what caused separation between you and God. But a church that is for all people begins to put this picture out there that God has extended his forgiveness through his son, Jesus Christ. Christ. This is why every Sunday you will hear me preach the gospel and the finished work of Christ, because it all is about Jesus and what he has done for you on the cross. I can give you 50 million different self-help sermons that really won't help you at the end of the day. But really, the only thing that can really anchor your soul through the hard moments in life, Oprah can't help you through that. Dr. Phil can't help you through that. Dr. Oz cannot help you through that. The only one who can help you with moments of crisis, with moments of self-doubt, with moments of shame, with moments of guilt is Jesus Christ, the great physician, the one who says, I am the one who was, who is, and is to come. That is the only one who can do that. It's a picture of his forgiveness. This baptism that Paul is talking about, he's not talking about being submerged in water. That is simply a symbol of a spiritual transformation. No different than a wedding ring doesn't make me married. A wedding ring just shows that I'm married. Baptism is a symbol. The actual baptism, like when we dunk people in the water, it's a symbol of what Christ has done for us. That when he went into the tomb and then came out of the tomb on the third day, showing that we have new life in Christ, such as the same. Now, when a person goes under water, it is a reflection and it is a picture of that old person dying. And then coming out of the water is a picture of a new person coming to life. It's a reflection of the forgiveness of God. And when you are in Christ Jesus, you have received the forgiveness of God, which means you are now a new person. You are not who you used to be. I don't know if you knew this or not. 2016 to 2017 does not make you a new person. What makes you a new person is the work of Christ being at work in your life. That is what makes you a new person. And a church for all people points to the forgiveness of God and the forgiveness that God has provided. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For we were all baptized by one spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free. And we are all given the one spirit to drink." What is Paul saying here? The Holy Spirit, the minute you trust in Jesus for your salvation, the minute you believe in him, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, he now immerses you. He now submerges you into the family of God. It's a supernatural and a spiritual work. You are a part of the family of God. And it's amazing because you're a part of the family of God and your sin was crazy. I mean, I'm talking like really crazy. You know what God's family is made up of? It's not made up of perfect people. I don't know if you knew that God's family was made up of people who were prostitutes, people who were liars, people who were adulterers, people who were swindlers, and the list goes on. If you look at Scripture, it is filled with broken people who are part of the family of God. Matter of fact, the guy who wrote this book, this chapter that I'm preaching out of today, he was one of the greatest persecutors of the church in history. Matter of fact, he was the greatest persecutor of the church in history. He signed off on Christians being beheaded for their faith. And yet God is supernaturally using this dude to plant churches. How crazy is this? That the one who was against the church, God has now extended forgiveness to him so that way he can plant a church. Guys, I don't know, some of us think that in here, I can't be a part of the family of God because my sin is too great. Let me help you understand something. Your sin is not greater than the blood of Jesus. The power of your sin is nothing compared to the grace of God in your life. It's nothing. Let me run down a list of sins, make you uncomfortable. Adultery, premarital sex, had an abortion, homosexuality, deception, lying, hatred towards someone else, unforgiveness in your heart, pride, addiction to porn. There is room still for you in God's family. Even if all these things were kind of a characteristic of your life, God says, I still want you to be a part of my family. And that right there should cause you to say, thank you, God, for your grace. Now, when I look at that list, I ain't do all of them. But I did enough of them to where, by human standard, I should be disqualified from the family of God. But God says, you being qualified to be a part of my family is not based upon what you did or what you didn't do. You being a part of my family is based upon you believing in what I've already done for you through my son, Jesus. It's the forgiveness element, y'all. And when a church is a church for all people, it is a picture of God's forgiveness. I love it. I love talking to people who are part of our church who had crazy past and are still being sanctified from it and are still being delivered. I love it. I love it. I think it's the coolest thing. Now, for the person who's in the situation, like, it's just a struggle. I'm like, man, it's awesome. It's a beautiful struggle because God is doing a new thing in you. I don't want to be a church that's perfect, because if I'm a part of a church that's perfect, then that means by me being a part of it, I just made it imperfect. And the reality is, the secret is this: there is no church that's perfect. Not at all. The church is made up of broken, fallen people who have now been redeemed by the forgiveness and mercy of Christ Jesus. Here's what this also means. There's going to be some times where I'll probably hurt your feelings and don't even realize it. Because what does that mean? Because God is still working on me and he's still working through me. Same with the person that is sitting next to you, which is why we still extend grace to one another. Some of y'all were just fighting and fussing with somebody on your way to church this morning. Just can't believe you say such a crazy and nasty thing. Don't even care nothing about me. Just fighting, just fussing. Then get in here, bless God. Be real. Jesus won't heal what you pretend to be. Be real. Right? Like, you cussed them out on the way here. You dropped some F-bombs. Oh, it's too much for you? Call it what it is. But you know what? There's still forgiveness. still forgiveness. God says, you are my son, you are my daughter, and I'm making you new day in and day out. Our church and every church is a church that is full of people who have sinned greatly but have received God's great grace in Jesus Christ. Here's the last thing, that a church for all people is also, most importantly, my favorite point, it is a picture of the future that God has promised. When you look at verse 28, notice what the Apostle Paul says. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Paul helps the believers understand that in God's family, it is not defined by human labels. It is defined by his grace. Now, the reason why this is huge is because this wasn't just something that Paul was making up. This was actually a promise that God made to a guy by the name of Abraham back in the book of Genesis. All the way in the front of your Bible, there was a guy by the name of Genesis, and God promised to him, I'm going to make you a father and the father of many nations. And all of that came into fulfillment through the death, work, and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because what happened was Jesus then reconciled people back to God, but also to one another across ethnic lines, across economic lines. Oh, so that's God, how you did it. That's how you made Abraham the father of many nations, through the work of Christ. And now people who are black, people who are white, people who are this, people who are that, people who are Democrat, people who are Republican, people who don't know what they are, all can be a part of the family of God. That was a promise that God made. And when Jesus performed his atoning work on the cross and through his resurrection, it was essentially God keeping his promise to something that he made to Abraham back in Genesis, some thousands and thousands of years ago. It was a promise. God always said throughout scripture that his family would be made up of people from all people groups. In other words, in God's family, there is no distinction and division based upon superficial and worldly labels. Jew and Gentile, that was a picture of racial tension, because Jews and Gentiles hated each other because of their ethnicity. Sounds very similar today. Matter of fact, that's kind of what Martin Luther King marched for. That people, no matter the color of their skin, would be one. God's family is to be characterized only by the blood of Christ. So you will never find in scripture a black church, a white church, an Asian church, a Latino church, an Indian church, an Asian church. No, you don't find any of that. You find the church. When you get to heaven, you're not going to see a picture of blacks and y'all gospel singers. Y'all go over there. Whites and Chris Tomlin, y'all go over here. No. Mm-mm. Here's what you have. In heaven, Revelation 5 and 9 says this, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. Then later on in Revelation 7 and 9, it says the same thing. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Here's what John, who wrote that book of Revelation, says. Here's what he means. In heaven, y'all, in God's family, there's no distinction based upon color, creed, gender, economic makeup, all the things that Paul was talking about here. He says there's no distinction between Jew and Gentile. There's no distinction between slave or free. There's no distinction between male and female. In other words, back in that first century context, if you were a male, you had superior class over a woman. And Paul is saying, in God's family, we are all one. Guys ain't better than girls. Girls ain't better than guys. We are all one. The same blood that saved the guys, the same blood that saved the gal. Same. We all one. We all one. We all one. Now, this doesn't mean that God is colorblind. And if you say that, please remove that from your vocabulary, because to say that I'm colorblind is an insult to our God, because he created everybody differently. So it doesn't mean that I'm colorblind. It means this, that I'm a black man. I don't know if you knew this. It means I don't ignore my blackness, but I don't idolize it either. I'm not defined by the color of my skin. I'm defined by the blood of Jesus. So I don't live my life based upon what a black man should do. I live my life based upon what a follower of Christ is supposed to be. That's what a picture of God's family is supposed to be like. When we begin to let go of our preferences, when we begin to let go of the things that oftentimes the world uses to shape us and define us, and we grab hold of our identity in Christ Jesus. That's why Paul says, you are a new creation. The old has passed, the new has come. You are no longer to look at yourself just as a white person or as a black person or as an Asian person. No, you are to look at yourself through the lens of the blood of Christ. You are a blood-bought person who is a part of the family of God. That is who you are. Your identity is not to be shaped any longer by your ethnicity, by how much money you make. Your identity is shaped based upon the identity of Christ Jesus. That's what it means. And it is a picture of the future. And if some of us are having a hard time with this, you're going to have a hard time in heaven. Because heaven is filled with a whole bunch of people that don't look like you. I've heard many people saying, I can't go to a church that don't look like me. Well, how are you going to like heaven? I said this a while back, and I think it kind of shocked people. You know, heaven's not the only place that's going to be diverse, right? So, whether it's heaven or hell, I'm speechless right now. I mean, which is why when we planted our church, we said we're going to be a multi-ethnic, multi-generational Christ-centered church. We're not going to be a church that's defined by our color. Be a church that's defined by the gospel. Because Jesus ain't say, I'm just going to die for black people, or die for white people, Asian people, rich people, poor people. No. He said, I'll die for all people. Because you know the thing that every person has in common, no matter who you are, no matter where you live, no matter how much money you make, sin. Sin don't have a certain color. Sin don't have a certain economic makeup. And all of us got it. But Jesus says, I've come to deal a death blow to it. The church for all people is a picture. It's a picture of the future that God has promised. And the church, the local church here on earth, is to be a picture of what heaven is supposed to be like. Martin Luther King said it. Sundays is the most segregated day of the week. And he said that, y'all, some 50 plus years ago, and unfortunately, that is still true today. Why? Because naturally, we like to be drawn to people that look like us and talk like us. That's called a homogeneous type of mentality. God says, no, 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 no. You've been made new, which means you got to think different. You are different, which means you need to understand that you're called to connect with all people. So you need to be in relationship with some people who don't look like you. You need to know some people who don't have the same skin color as you. You need to be in relationship with people who don't make as much money as you do, because what's happening is both of you guys are helping each other grow in your relationship with God. And that is the picture of the church. That is a church for all people. And when people come through these doors on a Sunday morning, I want people to be confused. I want people to be like, I don't know what kind of church that is. I mean, I see black people, I see white people, but I can't call it a black church because it's not just black people there. I can't call it a white church because it's not just white people there. I can't call it an older church because it's not just older people. I can't call it a young church because it's not just young people there. And you know what they'll probably settle on? Just call it the church. And that's actually the picture that God had in mind. That his family would be made up of people of all different tribes, of all different age groups, of all different economic makeups. That is a beautiful picture. And that is something that this world tries to achieve on its own and cannot. But the one who can achieve it and has achieved it has given us the keys to the kingdom to tell to the world, we got the whole unity thing figured out. And we got it figured out through this man named Jesus. The one who was, who is, and is to come. The one who is life itself. The one who says that I come to die for people of all ethnicities, of all backgrounds, of all age groups, no matter who they are. We got this thing figured out, y'all. And all he's calling us to do is just to go share it. So I pray that this week, man, as you go to your job, as you go to your neighborhoods, some of us live in neighborhoods right now, man. You live in neighborhoods that are filled with people who do not look like you, but you ain't said a single word to them yet about Jesus. And God may be undercover calling you a racist because you ain't talking to nobody else except people who look like you. God's like, man, I've called you to be salt and light. Jesus gave us this thing called the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Go make disciples of all nations. You know what that means? All ethnicities, all people groups. That's what he's called us to be. Is this making you uncomfortable? I hope it is, because this made me uncomfortable. That's what God's called us to do. I'm closing. I'm done. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Band, you guys can come on up. As the local church, we're called to be on mission. We're called to be on mission, y'all. We're called to be on mission to portray to this world that God's family, the church, is for all people. That we don't divide based upon different human lines. That we are a church that is for all people. That no matter your sin, no matter your mistake, no matter your past, there is room for you in God's family. There is room. And I hear God saying this morning, stop defining yourself based upon who you are or what you did. Because I don't look at you based upon that. I look at you as somebody that I made in my likeness and in my image, somebody that I love, somebody that is close to my heart, somebody that I sent my son Jesus to die for so that you can be a part of my family. And today, he's calling you home. He says, come home. Come home. Don't get stuck on what you did. Don't fall back on what you did. Yeah, you may have strayed away, but God's like, but I'm still here. I'm waiting for you to come back. It's a picture of his family. It's a picture of what the church is supposed to be like. So in this moment, two prayers that I want to lead us in. Number one is this. If you're a Christ follower, you believe in Jesus, you believe in what he did for you on the cross, you're a Christian. But you can be honest and say, I've strayed away. Strayed away from the family of God. I got away. I got caught up in my own sin. I got caught up in my own mistakes. I got caught up in my own past. I got distracted. I got sidetracked with all these things, career, all this type of stuff. But today I want to come back to the family of God. If that's you, I want you to be honest. Nobody's looking. It's just you and God. I want you to raise your hand just so I can pray for you. If that's you. If you're saying, I need to come back home, man. I need to get right. If that's you. Amen. Thank you for your honesty. Father, for every hand lifted, I pray that this word will let them know that you are for them and not against them. I pray that they would know that they are a part of your family, that you love them more than they could ever imagine. And you've proven that by giving them Jesus. And I pray that no matter what we have done in our past, no matter what our history looks like, no matter what they've done, that today, God, that they would draw close to you because you've already drawn close to them. In Jesus' name. Secondly, if you're here this morning and you're saying, man, I didn't think the church was for all people. My sin is great. I've messed up. I've lied plenty of times. I've done things that I shouldn't have done. I've gone astray. Disobeyed God. Made some terrible decisions. Here's the good news, man. God's grace is for you. His love is for you. And the only thing that he's asking and inviting us to do is just to come into his family by faith in his son, Jesus. That's it. That's it. You don't have to do anything else. It's all about you trusting in Jesus. That's what it means to be in Christ. So if this is you and you're saying, I want to give my life to Christ this morning. I want to become a part of the family of God. I don't want to be an orphan anymore. I don't want to wander through life on my own anymore. No, I want to be a part of the family of God. If this is you, this is your desire, I want you just to slip up your hand. Nobody's looking. I just want to pray for you for a moment. That's you. That's your heart's desire. You're saying, I want to give my life to Christ this morning. Amen. Amen. While every head is bowed and every eye is still closed, if you're here and you're ready to make that decision, you want to be a part of the family of God, you're saying, I want to give my life to Jesus this morning. I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you have loved me. I believe that you have extended grace to me through your death. I believe also that you resurrected from the grave on the third day so that I could have new life and so that I could be a part of your family. Thank you for adopting me. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the family of God. Amen. Amen. Hey, here's what I want us to do. If you prayed that prayer at the end, that last prayer that we just kind of led you in, I want you to pull out that worship guide that we gave you when you walked in. There's a box under where it says, my decision today. I want you to check the box that says, I'm committing my life to Christ. Because here's what's going to happen. We're going to send you some next steps as to how you can grow in your faith. We believe that you have made the greatest decision.